Good morning once again, and it's just a wonderful privilege to be able to be here this morning to share God's word with you. We're thankful for how your church has been an encouragement to our family as we've been serving in Bangladesh, and how you've been such a crucial part of what we're doing. So today, I was looking at the order of service, and maybe I'm a little out of order. I think what I'm sharing today is a benediction, right? So, but even so, I love benedictions. A doxology looking at praising God. I love the benedictions in the sense of also encouraging the church to keep on, to don't stop. God is with you, and he is here to walk alongside you. So that's really what we're looking at. So I was able to share this message with our team as well as with a local church in Bangladesh. I'll speak it to you in English today. We won't do it in Bangla, but yeah. I want to back up a little bit. If you would take your Bibles and let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's start at verse 3. Because I think it's so important. As we're looking at God's word, we look at the context. Where are we going? Where are we looking at as we're getting to the key passage? So our key passage is what we just read, starting at 11 to 16. But I want to back up and read a little bit more, just so we know where we're going with this. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. This is important as we look at this passage today that we're going to be looking at today. We have a little bit of context. With this, I want to open up this time in some prayer. Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand your words today, Lord. I pray that you will help me to be able to convey it well, that as we look at this really key scripture today, that we would understand it, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate our hearts and minds, that we would grow closer to you. On this Mission Sunday, help us to see the great need that there is all around us for those who are lost and dying under Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will help us to have this passion and fire in our hearts, that we would be finding ways to point people to Jesus Christ as the Savior. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about perseverance, fighting the good fight of the faith. So we all have different hard things that happen in our life. This past term, I was thinking about, I had 2 weeks in a row that were, I had a really hard Monday. One of these Mondays, I was seeing some of our employees at the hospital doing primary care. I work as a nurse manager. I help to see some of our employees and just see them for cold symptoms, for COVID, for belly problems. So I was seeing some of our employees who were sick. And then we had our normal patients coming into our outpatient department to be seen. And those took care of some other important responsibilities for the morning. It was a busy morning being a supervisor of our hospital. So I went home for lunchtime after a busy morning and finally got to have some rice and some dal. That's one of the things we usually have for our lunchtimes. It's an inexpensive way to eat. So I was doing that. As I was eating, I got a call from our OPD medic. He said, you got to come right away. There's a girl who is in critical condition. I'm like, I just sat down. I just need it. So I quickly shoveled the food in my mouth and got back on the road. I mean, it's only 5 minutes away down the road, where our hospital is from where the, our house. So I got there, and the girl was in special need of treatment for seizures and was having difficulty breathing. So we saw this girl, got her taken care of. Right afterwards, we had some accident patients. That we have all kinds of bad roads there. People are flying down the road, and they're not watching where they're going. So we had a big accident that came in. Multiple patients needed to be taken care of. And just one thing after another. It just was this really difficult day. And then I had a similar Monday the week before that. So I told the nurses I was working, like, you know what, forget about this. I'm not working any more Mondays. I'm done. We've all had hard days. We've all had difficulties and trouble in our lives. Perhaps you're having a problem now with sickness. Maybe you have you or one of your family members has COVID. It's been, about 2 years now that we've been dealing with that virus, and it doesn't seem to be going away, unfortunately. Maybe you're having problems with your children, money issues. There's several problems that come our way during our lives. In this passage, Paul is trying to encourage Timothy as a pastor in his life and in his work. Even though this passage, I believe, truly is to encourage Timothy as a pastor, I think it has a whole lot for all of us that we can benefit from. And we can get a lot of encouragement and perseverance as we run the race that God has set before us. I've read some really good commentaries that have helped me with this message. Paul is trying to encourage Timothy as a pastor. As we were looking at in the context, he just finished talking to Timothy about some of these bad and false teachers. Some of the things that some of these people were telling their communities that really was not according to God's word. Paul is telling Timothy that he is to have a different view and a different way of shepherding his people than these bad teachers. He wants to encourage him in his work. So if you look at our passage again, look at 1 Timothy 6, starting at verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. So first of all, he's told to flee. Now you might be thinking, that's pretty strange. You know, while he's trying to encourage Timothy, right? So why on earth would he tell him to flee, to run away? What is he fleeing from? Looking at it, it's the love of money and worldly possessions. That's a hard one. Right? That's an idol that is not so easy to see. You know, where we serve in Bangladesh, there's quite a lot of Hindus. So it's pretty easy to see their idols. Now, they have a statue they put up in their temple or in their house. It's easy to see those idols. But idols of materialism, idols of worldliness, those are a lot harder to see. And that's one thing we had from our key passage for our renewal is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. To not be conformed to the pattern of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world wants us to be conformed to it. It wants us to become like it. So when we resist that, when we are living a different kind of lifestyle, it's hard. It's not going to be easy to walk the narrow way, to walk the path that God wants us to. It's going to be hard. But that is the reason that Paul here is telling Timothy to flee. Don't go that way. Run away. Turn the other direction. Even in Bangladesh, you know, we see people who are really poor, and this idol of materialism is one that is hard to let go of. You know, you might see people, you might go at a Bangladesh church and be talking to the people there, and you go back and you look at your phone, like, oh, this dumb thing, it's not fast enough, and you get these thoughts, like, I just need a better one, you know, one that's faster, one that gets on the internet, whatever, all these kind of thoughts that go into our minds. I need something better. This house I'm in is not good enough, or this is not good. It's an idol. It wants us to worship it. So Paul is telling him to don't believe that doctrine. Flee from it. Run away from that. We need money for life. We need it to survive. But there's never enough to be satisfied. So this does not mean that we are to flee away from money. We see a dollar on the ground, run away. That's not what he's saying. But instead, to be separate and separate ourselves from the love and the worship of money. So when we flee from idolatry and fleeing from materialism and from this false way of thinking, we are to go to the direction of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. We are to repent. No, the word repent means to turn away from. So we take these idols of materialism, these idols of worldliness, we take those off. We leave those and we go the opposite direction of righteousness, godliness, and truth. Living the way God wants us to do requires effort. We must purposefully turn away from a worldly lifestyle and turn the way God wants us to live. You'll notice that these qualities are very similar to those listed in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think these are parallel passages. These are the characteristics of a follower of Jesus Christ. So certainly Galatians chapter 5, but also here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. This is the fruits, the characteristics of a follower of God. We're not to be living selfishly. We're not to be living for, number one, to serve ourselves and to get our way. That's the way the world wants us to think. We're not to be living that way. Instead, we ought to be living a life that is pleasing to God, that sacrifices ourselves, and instead is looking to point other people to Jesus Christ. So that finishes verse 11. Look at verse 12 now. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So regarding verse 12, the Christian life can feel like a fight sometimes, right? I remember being in high school, and we had a really good guidance counselor. He since went to Cedarville University to help out there. But I remember sitting in his office one day and saying, you know, Mr. Lesko, I feel like my Christian life is like a war. It's like a fight. And he's like, you're right, Chris. Yep, that's pretty normal. We expect life to be easy. You know, I accepted Christ, so you know, life should be a piece of cake now. I can just go and everything's going to be fine. We do have the promises from God's word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will walk beside us, but he never promises us it's going to be easy. He never says it's going to be a piece of cake. We need to be contending for the faith. We need to be fighting the good fight. We expect that life is going to be easy, but when we are a follower of Jesus Christ, that's just not the truth. We need to be constantly be ready to defend ourselves from the attacks of Satan. And he does. He wants to attack us. He wants us to believe his lies. And we hear these things constantly. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. The work you're doing doesn't matter. All these things, especially in ministry. I'm sure I can ask Pastor Mark that, Nathan, and the family that. Satan wants to tell us those lies. What you're doing doesn't matter. Who you are doesn't matter. God doesn't love you. He tells us these lies all the time. We need to be on the watch for that. We need to be careful. And we need to fight for the faith that we believe God's word, we believe his truth, and not believe what Satan wants us to hear. We also need to be prepared to stand up for what is right and to be on the defense for what is true. Paul tells Timothy here, take hold of eternal life. He's not saying that we earn our salvation. He's not saying that we do anything to earn that. But he's saying, God's given this gift to you. So hold tight to this gift. Don't forsake it. Don't believe the lies of Satan. We need to be holding fast to what this truth God's given us. The eternal life we receive by believing upon the name of Jesus gives us hope for the future. We know that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that there is nothing that will take that away from us. That we know for sure we will have eternity to celebrate in heaven with God. It gives us hope for the future, and it gives us a present hope. This is the gospel. We said it this morning, John 3:16, talking about our mission Sunday. That God loved the world, that he sent Jesus Christ, that if we put our faith and trust in him, we will not perish. We will not be destroyed forever. We'll have everlasting life with God in heaven. This is the gospel we need to preach to ourselves each and every day, that I'm a sinner. I deserve to be punished. But because of God's gift, because of his grace, his love, I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. And to remind ourselves of that. Like Satan is constantly on the attack, and he does not want us to believe those truths. So preach the gospel to yourself every day. Preach the gospel also to your neighbors and to your family members. Even in my own family, we have some of my brothers are not walking with the Lord. So be praying for them. Pray for your family members. Pray for those around you who need Jesus Christ as their Savior. The eternal life that we receive by believing upon the name of Jesus Christ gives us hope for our future in heaven as well as a present hope. Since we have such a great gift of eternal life through Jesus, we ought to share that joy and the truth with others. Timothy made this profession before, it says, many witnesses. That could have been during his baptism. It could have been another public time where he was preaching or another public profession. So Paul's exhorting Timothy that you did this. You proclaimed this truth before many witnesses and continue to do so. We should continue to do so. We should continue to be sharing the gospel. Our faith is not something to be hidden, but it's to be shared with others, no matter what they may think. The gospel gives us hope. It is the word of truth to a world that is lost and needs salvation. So I want to encourage you to be praying for the hearts of those in your community who need to hear it. Be praying that their hearts are good soil for the gospel. That's something that I did a missions internship before we went to the field, before I was even married. And that's something we did all the time, was just the hearts of the community would be good soil for the gospel. Having that mindset, that the Holy Spirit, we can't say anything or do anything that's going to do it. The Holy Spirit needs to be working in their hearts. And God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that he desires that. So pray that their hearts be good soil for the gospel. So when you do have that opportunity, when those conversations come up to share the truth of Jesus Christ with them, that they would be ready. That the path would be straight and be smooth. And they may not accept it. They may say, you know what, I don't want to hear more of that, or you know, I don't want anything to do with that faith or that religion of yours. But be persistent. Now, we don't want to bang them over the head with it, but be praying and for opportunities that they continue to share the hope and the truth that you have in your heart. This Mission Sunday, we want to be thinking about that. There's certainly a call for a pastor, for missionaries to do a specific work, but each one of us has a mission field. I firmly believe that. Wherever God's placed us, that is your unique mission field. And you know what? If I were to go to your place of work or your family and try to share the gospel, it would not be as effective as if you were doing it, because that's the field God's given you to do. That's the place that God's placed you. And he's given you the abilities, the skills, and the relationship, most importantly, to be able to minister in those places. That's your mission field. And I would challenge you to accept that and to take advantage of those opportunities. Next, look at verse 13. There we go. Okay. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. So have you ever given a very strong command to someone? You better do this or else you're going to get it. Or something like that. Paul here is giving quite a strong command with a lot of support. Let's look at that. He commands Timothy with the support of God himself, who gives life and breath, and Jesus Christ, whose testimony is always true. He tells Timothy to persevere in truth and in what is right. The same God who supports your every breath and who holds the universe in his hands, and Jesus Christ, who is the very one who died to save you from your sins, and stands as a witness to Paul's command. Even when faced with death, Jesus did not turn away from following the Father in obedience. Jesus is our example of following the Father's commands, following the Father's will and obedience. He's gone before us so that we know how we ought to live. And I believe that God expects the same perseverance, the same obedience from our lives. I know Jesus is and was perfect. He's God. But even so, I believe that God wants us to be striving and depending on him to follow him in obedience, the same way Jesus did. So look at verse 14 next. So it says that Christ gave the confession before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is this command which Paul is giving that requires such support? You know, the support, he's saying God the Father and Jesus Christ are the ones who are supporting this command. So what's so important that he wants to give that much backing behind it? He says, keep this commandment unstained. It is not just one law or one command. Paul is instructing Timothy to follow all the principles of the Christian life that he has been instructing Timothy about, to flee from worldliness, to be a good shepherd, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. He's telling him to believe and to follow the gospel. This is the command that is requiring the support that he's giving there. He is to flee, to run from a sinful life, and to seek after righteousness, to be a faithful, loving, humble pastor, and to be working hard to see the name of Jesus Christ receive glory, and to serve the sheep of his church like a good pastoral shepherd. And this is all to be done until Christ comes again. Thinking about Timothy's life, that was a lot of hard work and a long time to wait. Timothy never saw Christ come again during his life. He had to wait until he stood before God's throne to be able to see the fulfillment of this promise. We wait as well. We wait for the coming of Jesus Christ again. And his coming is the promise. His coming is the encouragement that we have that allows us to persevere. We know that God's word's true. We know that his promises are true. We know that he's coming again. And we know that the saints, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, from the beginning until now and into the future, are waiting for that. His promise of coming again is what gives us the endurance, which gives us the encouragement to continue to persevere. It's at that time that everything will be made right, and all of our hard work to bring glory to God will finally receive its reward. Then all the hardship that we have had to endure will be all worth it. The Christian life can be difficult many times, like I said. But when we finally see our Savior Jesus Christ, when he comes again, when we stand before his throne, we'll know it all was worth it. We know that every time we had to deal with persecution, people turning away from God's word, the difficulty we've had to endure for the sake of Christ will all be worth it. Look at verses 15 and 16 next. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. So look at that the proper time has still not come. We're still waiting for his return. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. So, looking at those verses, just the very thought of Christ coming again, who God is, I'm sure just filled Paul's mind and his heart with joy and rapture. Praise Jesus Christ for who he is and what he has done. When we recognize the great God whom we serve and who he is, the troubles of our life, the fear of the enemy, they all cease. They all go away. When we properly see and understand the majesty and power of God whom we serve. There's no ruler, there's no king, who has the power apart from God, allowing it to be so. God is completely holy. God is always good. God is all-knowing, and he is eternal. God is completely different from anything that we can understand. That's what makes him God. That's what makes him worthy of our praise, worthy of our trust, because he's God. He is worthy of every praise, every bit of glory. It is this God who we worship and who all honor and glory are due. So when we do face trials, when we feel like the problems of our life are too much to bear, when the stresses are overwhelming us, look to Jesus Christ. Look to this God whom we serve and know that he is an unapproachable light. He is amazing, yet he loves you. He wants a relationship with you, and he walks beside you every step of the way. Finally, I want to encourage you to take this same charge as Paul is giving to Timothy. Run away from what is false and what is evil. Put aside these worldly lifestyles and these idols that want to claim your heart. Take them off. Leave them behind you. Repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Repent and go to him and live a life of righteousness, a life of truth, a life that seeks to love God and love others. Live as a child of God with a proper fruit of a Christian life, whose life has been changed by the Savior Jesus Christ. Seek to know and love your God. Know that Jesus went before you as the perfect example of obedience. One of the lies that Satan loves to tell us is that you are alone in your struggle, in your trial. Nobody else knows what it's like. And that certainly is not true. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord who we can go with, we can pray together, and even through the difficulties, even though we may experience loss, we may experience a hard time, we can use that difficult time in our life to be a blessing, to edify, to point our brother or sister in the Lord, Jesus Christ, and also to know that Jesus himself had human flesh. He felt pain. He felt sadness. He understands what it's like to be you. He went before us so that we know we have a God we can completely trust and who understands your trial. He understands your pain. Worship God and know him for the absolutely amazing God that he is. Rest in him and work hard to be his disciple. Like I said, fight for your faith. We know that the gospel, we know that eternal life is a free gift of God. We don't need to work for that. But know that it's going to take work to be able to live your Christian life the way that God wants you to do. Rest in him and work hard to be his disciple. Work hard to share his gospel and truth to a world that is lost and dying until he comes back to earth again. That's my encouragement to you. I hope that this week, every week, especially this Mission Sunday, that we'd be looking to Jesus Christ as the one who's gone before us, the one who gives us the wisdom, the strength, and the encouragement and the perseverance to live our Christian life in a way that's going to honor him and is going to help us to become more like him. Let me pray for us. Lord, you are so good. You are so amazing. You are worthy of all praise and glory. I pray that you will help us as we run the race set before us, as we seek to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray that you will help us in our weakness. We know that when we are weak, you are strong.